KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
You're tuned in to KAEB, 91.9 on your FM dials, playing you the hits from yesteryear, this year, and the next.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The federal body that manages fisheries in Alaska waters has been tasked with coming up with ideas to make fisheries easier to prosecute and more productive. On April 17, 2025, President Trump signed Executive Order Number 14276, titled Restoring American Seafood Competitiveness. Among its provisions is a request to the regional management councils, including the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, to provide recommendations on ways to, quote, reduce burdens on domestic fishing and increase production, close quote. The executive order further specifies that, quote, identified actions should stabilize markets, improve access, enhance economic profitability, and prevent closures, close quote. The sample given on the provided template was a relaxation of a requirement to stow nets below deck when transiting a closed area. Although it is a request, that request has a deadline. In his report to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council at their last meeting, Executive Director David Witherell advised the council that their recommendations are due September 1st of this year. But National Marine Fisheries Service staff indicated that they would still consider council comments through the first few days of October. The executive order includes a call for action, not just recommendations. It stipulates that, quote, the regional fishery management councils will commit to a work plan and a schedule for implementation to ensure these actions are prioritized, close quote.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Southeast Alaska broke records for rainfall in May, and the general rule of thumb at the Blind Slough hydroelectric plant near Petersburg is the more rain, the more power, the better. As reported by KFSK's Hannah Weaver, Petersburg Borough Utility Director Carl Hagerman says sometimes there is such a thing as too much rain. The hydro plant uses water from a dam at Crystal Lake to generate power, and the record-breaking precipitation Mitkoff Island got in May caused Crystal Lake to spill over earlier this month. Hagerman says the lake spills over about once a year, flowing down Crystal Creek into Blind Slough. But this year, it was more water than usual, so they turned up the plant's power production to the highest it's ever been, and that still wasn't enough to harness all of the extra water. After the water is used by the plant, it flows out into the neighboring Crystal Lake Salmon Hatchery. Bill Gass is the production manager for the company that operates the hatchery, the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. He says hatchery staff noticed a spike in nitrogen levels in the water, and they were concerned the plant's power increase could be causing it. Too much nitrogen in the water can cause disease and death for salmon. No salmon died at the hatchery this time. but Gass says its staff asked the hydro plant to turn the power back down as a precaution. The hydroelectric plant at Crystal Lake is one of several in southeast Alaska that shares its water source with a hatchery. Gass says most of the time having hydro plant neighbors is a good thing. It's a balancing act between the hydro plant and the hatchery's respective goals of generating as much power as possible and keeping the salmon healthy. And Hagerman says the more power generated locally at Crystal Lake, the less power the borough has to buy from the other hydropower plants, which he says can lower consumers' utility bills. If any compromises need to be made next time the lake spills over, Hagerman and Gass say the hydro plant and hatchery teams will continue to work together.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The organization that helps oversee federal fisheries off Alaska's coast is scaling back operations due to uncertainty over federal funding. As reported by Theo Greenlee of KUCB, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council meets five times a year to help set fishing policies. That includes things like quotas, regulations, and bycatch restrictions. But federal budget cuts under President Donald Trump have whittled down the organization's resources, forcing them to scale back their activities. At a meeting earlier this month, the council said it had received less than half of its federal funds. They got another payment last week. Executive Director Dave Witherell says they've only received about two-thirds of their annual funding. Usually they have it all by March.
This is a highly unusual situation that we're in. We can normally be able to plan our meeting schedule for the year and not have to worry that, you know, the council offices might have to close because we run out of funds to pay staff.
Witherell says they're starting from zero with no rollover from the previous year. He says the council has been told to expect another installment once Congress finalizes a federal spending plan. But for now, there's no timeline and no guarantee.
The funding this year has been coming in dribs and drabs, and it's making it challenging to reserve meeting spaces and to know that we have the funds to host a meeting.
The council is dropping to only four meetings next year and will hold its next meeting in October online. In a statement, the council said they're also cutting back on travel and other expenses. They hope to hold an in-person meeting in December, but even that will depend on whether more funding comes through. Commercial fisheries rely on council recommendations in order to open. The council warns that its December schedule is overloaded with time-sensitive matters like chum salmon bycatch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has closed the Nanilchik River to sport fishing for all species through July 15th. In their advisory announcement dated June 18th, Fish and Game says, quote, "This restriction is required to achieve the Nanilchik River King Salmon Sustainable Escapement Goal of 9 to 1,600 fish and the broodstock collection goals for stocking the Nanilchik River and Kachemak Bay terminal fisheries in 2026. Close quote. Escapement goals for the Nanilchik River's wild king salmon have not been met for the last 3 years. In addition to an escapement goal of 9 to 1,600 kings, another 100 wild fish are needed for use as broodstock for stocking the Nanilchik River. Only naturally produced fish are used for enhancement of the Nanilchik River. They also need about 150 hatchery-bred female fish to stock Cook Inlet's terminal fishery. Despite over 600 hatchery kings already showing up, only 40 of them have been female so far. And the hatchery fish are coming back small, with 60% of them under 20 inches in length. It is expected that all of the large hatchery fish will be needed for broodstock for the Cook Inlet enhancement efforts. Area management biologist Mike Booz said, quote, although there are good numbers of hatchery king salmon in the Nanilchik River, the numbers of wild fish and large hatchery fish aren't good enough. Closing the sport fishery will provide the best chance at making the goals. Close quote.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, delivering the essentials for everyday life in the last frontier. Learn more at madsen.com/Alaska.
There are many kinds of flares that mariners keep on board. And when those flares expire, they can't just be thrown in the trash or fired off into the water. That's why the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary in Petersburg's Volunteer Fire Department hosted a free event on the 20th to help people dispose of them safely. And as KFSK's Hannah Weaver reports, participants young and old also got hands-on practice at this year's flare-off.
There goes another one.
About 15 people gather at the Scow Bay boat ramp on a cloudy summer evening. Some watch, while others wearing fireproof jackets launch bursts of light into the sky. But despite one young boy's confusion, this is not a fireworks show.
They're fireworks?
Well, no, honey, they're flares.
This is Petersburg's third annual flare-off. Emergency Services Director Aaron Hankins says the event serves two purposes. One is to dispose of expired flares, and the other is to give people a chance to practice using flares safely.
You know, it kind of benefits the public in both ways. So they save a little bit of money on the discharge and get to learn in the process. And what can be better than that?
And it turns out, learning can be fun, especially when pyrotechnics are involved. Petersburg resident Cherie Martin took the opportunity to try out all the different types of marine flares available.
Are you an experienced flare
person? No, this is my first flare. But they've been on the boat for years, and I've never shot any off. And they said, we're coming down here to do this, and I thought, wow, that'll be cool.
Martin uses a walking stick and says she doesn't get on her boat much anymore. So today is more about fun for her.
All right, this is so exciting.
And be careful, because it will be loud.
Hankins shows her how to fire it with the pull of a string, aiming the flare out over the water. That was a rocket flare. It launches through the sky and burns bright until hitting the water, unless it's a dud. There are lots of types of marine flares that all work a little differently. The three main categories are aerial, handheld, and smoke. Smoke flares, for example, should be used during the day.
So these are designed to actually be thrown into the water, and they will float on the surface of the water. You don't actually want to continue to hold them because they get very hot.
But perhaps the most popular type to try out at the flare-off.
That was a parachute flare, and you see, you can kind of see the little parachute as he kind of floats on down.
Hankins says that kind of flare is good for grabbing attention from a distance, especially when it's dark outside. It's a lot to remember, but that's why Hankins says it's important for people, and especially mariners, to come and try it out personally.
They've never really gotten an opportunity to actually use them in a controlled setting.
Even 7-year-old Odin Burrell got in on the fun. With some help from Hankins, he fires off a rocket flare.
We're going to hold this up at a 45, and there's a chain that you pull. I'll show you what that looks like in a second.
So I know what it is.
Odin's bundled up in a beige firefighter's coat that goes down to his ankles, and he sports sunglasses for eye protection.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I don't know.
Which hand do you write with?
This hand.
Okay, right. Perfect. 3, 2, 1, pull. Pull hard.
I'm pulling.
Odin's rocket flare gets some impressive distance before landing in the water.
Nice!
Yeah. Woohoo! Oh, hey, we got another one. Can I trade you?
The event ends with a bang. Many of them. Volunteers fire off the rest of the old flares and pack up buckets of burnt material to leave without a trace. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Weaver.
Now, the rest of the story. Did you ever wonder what Wild West outlawing was really like? Was Jesse James in peril all the time, or was he just having fun? Historians will say that his life of crime was hard work. For example, July 7, 1875, the James Younger gang held up a train east of Otterville, Missouri, and Jesse told the man guarding the safe to get the money for them. The guard, however, had no keys, and neither had anybody else on the train. So Jesse told gang member Bob Younger to get an axe. Bob found a fire axe and started hacking away at the safe. But the heavy safe, just a few small dents. Now the guard is grinning, and Bob handed the axe to his brother Cole. Well, Cole Younger was a towering, broad-shouldered, powerful man. Took him every bit of 10 minutes slamming that axe into the safe before he chopped a hole in the top. But it was a hole so small that only Jesse's slender hand could reach inside. Needless to say, the boys were a long, tedious time getting the cash out of that safe. No, that was not an isolated instance. In fact, Jesse James worked so hard at outlawing, he almost retired twice. The first time was December 1869. Jesse was 22. Brother Frank and Cole Younger had just robbed the bank in Gallatin, Missouri. You've seen how bank robbers in Western movies run from the bank and jump on their horses. Well, this time, in real life, Jesse missed the saddle. He made the stirrup, but missed his horse. So, with Jesse's foot caught in the stirrup, that horse dragged him all the way down the street. Luckily, Frank looked back, saw what had happened. But by the time he could pull his brother into the saddle behind him, the whole town had been alerted and was shooting at the fleeing bandits. Bullets were flying everywhere. The gang's escape was miraculous. In fact, it would be many months before Jesse even considered another holdup. See what I mean? Jesse James worked hard. Summer 1876, the gang decided to rob the First National Bank, Northfield, Minnesota. During the robbery, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Gang members Clell Miller and Bill Chadwell were gunned down. Charlie Pitts and brothers Cole and Jim and Bob Younger were all wounded. A posse eventually caught up with them and killed Charlie with 5 bullets in the chest. The Younger brothers were captured and sent to prison for life. The James boys? No, they got away, but just barely. Rode south for 3 weeks, traveling only at night. They stole fresh horses and lived in barns. And when they finally reached Tennessee, they decided they'd had enough. Indeed, for 3 years, the notorious James brothers lived quietly as farmers. It was tough tilling the soil, but oh, so much easier than a life of crime. That not only makes sense, it makes dollars and cents. You see, Jesse James' personal share of his gang's ill-gotten gain during his 15 years on the wrong side of right was $32,336. But in terms of a 40-hour week, he made $1.04 an hour. $1.04 per hour. And now you know the rest of the story.
You're listening to Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Governor Mike Dunleavy told lawmakers Wednesday he had vetoed a bill that would have sharply limited payday loans in Alaska. Senate Bill 39, which passed the legislature on a bipartisan vote of 38-22, looked to cap interest rates for so-called deferred deposit advance loans at 36%. Backers of the bill, including the Alaska Public Interest Research Group, say it's an effort to curtail what they describe as predatory loans. Claire Lubke is the group's economic justice lead.
We know that payday loan customers in Alaska are taking out over 4-5 payday loans per year, even though they're marketed as one-time emergency assistance. And we know that this causes cycles of debt in which people are taking out one loan and then another, trying to get out from what they originally borrowed.
Democratic Anchorage Senator Forrest Dunbar sponsored the bill, which passed along caucus lines in the Senate. 3 minority Republicans joined the multi-party coalition controlling the House to pass the bill in the lower chamber. Opponents of the bill say it would unnecessarily limit consumers' choices and reduce loan options for borrowers with poor credit. Andrew Duke leads the Online Lenders Alliance, a financial technology group that opposed the bill.
The proponents were trying to paint a picture that if you enact this bill and put
more restrictions in place, lenders will just keep making loans to the same borrowers at lower cost. That is patently false.
Lawmakers can override Dunleavy's veto with a two-thirds majority vote. That could prove difficult, since proponents would have to pick up at least two more Republican votes to override the veto. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will allow oil and gas workers to more intensely harass polar bears away from people and equipment near the Beaufort Sea. The Alaska Beacon reports a new rule took effect Thursday, following a series of lawsuits brought by environmental groups who claim that the federal government failed to adequately justify prior rules that allow lower levels of harassment. Under federal regulations, Level B harassment takes place when someone annoys an animal enough to change its behavior, typically steering it away from an object or person. Level A harassment takes place when that annoyance has the potential to injure the animal. In 2024, the Ninth Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals said in an order that it doubted federal officials' claims that there would be no Class A harassment against polar bears and directed the Fish and Wildlife Service to re-examine its approach. With that order in hand, the service rewrote its rules to allow the Level A harassment of polar bears that may result from industry activities. This is Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Morning News is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
The greatest compliment to a public media station is when a listener becomes a member. So do your part today by becoming a part of the team officially. Thank you for making a donation.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Sony Pictures Classics, presenting Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, a romantic comedy about a woman who dreams of becoming a writer and experiencing true love while attending a Jane Austen writer's residency. Now playing in select cities.
Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Sandpoint and King Cove. GCI offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and pricing as in Anchorage. More information is available at gci.com/internet.
This is statewide news from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Anchorage is celebrating Pride this weekend with a parade, drag shows, queer movie nights, and an all-day festival at the city's Park Strip. But as Alaska Public Media's Hannah Floor reports, one Anchorage drag queen says this year, Pride feels different.
Golden Delicious is gluing tiny rhinestones to spandex.
If anyone says bedazzling, they're not most likely a drag performer. Just saying.
The correct term, they say, is stoning. Golden Delicious is the alter ego of Brooks Banker. But in or out of drag, they say most people know them as Goldie. They've been performing for the better part of two decades, lip-syncing ballads and hosting drag events as a self-described bearded, big-bodied beauty queen. Right now they're on their living room couch, working their way down the calf of a custom neon catsuit in tropical print. They don't make new looks for every performance.
Oh my God, no. Who has the closet space for that?
Their second bedroom is already packed, racks bowed under the weight of so many costumes. But this weekend is Pride, so of course they're going to spend 6 hours stoning a look with a remake of Dallas on in the background. Goldie says Pride is always an opportunity to try out new outfits and new performances, to really sink into the excitement and joy of being with their queer community, celebrating who they are. They say that desire to celebrate identity comes partly from an all too common childhood experience of shame.
The teasing that would happens to a more feminine little boy. People telling you you're weird, or you, even as a child, you catch and recognize the side glances, you know, from the people around you.
They have an early memory, always stealing their sister's pink tutu at 3 and 4 years old. Goldie says their dad would take it away, put it on the top shelf of a closet. That early reaction made them realize they were different. They say Pride can be a pushback against the shame that comes partly from people disapproving of the way queer kids express themselves.
If you're somebody who hasn't had that community initially, haven't felt affirmed in who you are, has only ever experienced shame or bigotry in that identity, Pride is where you can go to feel less shameful, more affirmed and supported. Absolutely.
But this year, they say, Pride feels different. Policies around the country that target LGBTQ people make Goldie feel less safe in daily life. Last week, the Supreme Court upheld state bans on transgender care for minors. In January, the Trump administration issued executive orders banning trans in the military and rolling back LGBTQ workplace protections. The American Civil Liberties Union is tracking nearly 600 anti-LGBTQ bills around the country. They say they're not just fearful for their own safety. They worry about the people in the community they love. And that fear has changed their aesthetic a little bit, too. In the past, rainbows were never really their vibe. But lately, they've started to embrace the symbol of queer pride.
I wanted to bring that imagery of safety, of a safe space, of a community in my drag a bit more. And so I might do a song in a rainbow dress that relates to, you know, loving yourselves. Like I might do Beautiful by Christina Aguilera.
Thursday afternoon, just hours before the show, Goldie was still stoning the neon catsuit. The plan was to wear it while lip-syncing to the Backstreet Boys. I want it that way. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Floor.
This is Alaska Public Media.
I'm sorry, and once again, the first one in your heart. Honestly, I know you won't be sorry, so let me prove true love should never part. We vow to love, honor, and obey. I won't let foolish pride stand in the way. Let me be the first to say I'm sorry. And once again, the first one in your heart. Tears in my eyes prove that I'm sincere. My breaking heart is pleading for you, dear. Let me be the first to say I'm sorry. And once again, the first one in your heart.
You're the first time I've thought about leaving. woman he loves, she don't feel the same. No, I don't know much about love, but at least I've learned one thing. If it don't come easy, you better let it go. 'Cause when it don't come easy, there's no natural flow. Don't make it hard on your heart. You might be better off alone. If it don't come easy, you better let it go. Yeah. I know a woman, she's got a heart of gold. You know she'd do anything to make her man feel right at home. But the man she loves, he's a restless kind of guy. I wish there was a way I could make her realize. If it don't come easy, you better let it go. 'Cause when it don't come easy, there's no natural flow. Don't make it hard on your heart when you might be better off alone. If it don't come easy, you better let it go.
I've seen lost love make one bend like a willow, with its branches blowing in the wind. And I've seen love die, leaving some so low and humble, with no courage left to try again. Oh, what love can do. Love can hurt you, love can thrill you. Some warms you, then chills you. Love can make the oldest things seem new. Love can make you or break you, leave you or take you. There are so many kinds of love. The love of a mama carrying life inside her, that lives from the love inside her soul. A poor man's love to feed his hungry children, the rich man's love and lust for gold. Oh, what love can do. Love can hurt you, love can thrill you. Some warms you, then chills you. Love can make the oldest things seem new. Love can make you or break you, leave you or take you. There are so many kinds of love. There are so many kinds of love.
My life is so much richer. You've given me so much to live for. And I never really lived before loving you.
For loving you.
And for loving you, my faith is a little stronger. For a world that could give you to me couldn't be as bad as it's made out to be. There was good there I just could never see before loving you.
For loving you. For needing you. But most of all, for loving you.
And for needing you, I feel a whole lot stronger. For there's a strength that comes from knowing you need to give of yourself. And darling, I gave so much of myself loving you.
For losing you.
And now I'm losing you. And I'm a sadder, lonelier man than I ever thought any man could be. But even in my loneliness, even as I walk the haunting trail of memory, even for all the pain that I'm feeling right now, never once will I ever regret having had the chance of loving you.
Travel back to western Kentucky, where my parents were born, to to a backward old town that I often remember. So many times that my memories are worn. Then sometimes we'd travel on down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Adrian's Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train done called it away. Well, the coal companies came with the world's largest shovel. They tortured the timber and stripped all the land. They dug for the coal till the land was forsaken, then rolled it all down to the progress of man. Oh, Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train done hauled it away. Let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting, 5 miles away from wherever I am. Oh, Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train done hauled it away. I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train hauled it away.
Sometimes you feel lost and far from home. Then with just one kiss, you're a king on a throne. It can make you soar like an eagle, or it can make you feel meek as a dove. But oh, about love, you hope and pray the right one comes along, but some fools don't know what they've got till it's gone. The very one you think will never hurt you always seems to be the one that does, but oh, 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 that's the thing about love. You can't have it until you give it. You can never give it enough. Oh, you can't have it until you give it. You can never give it enough. So next time you're caught in a natural flow,
been the feeling with your heart all aglow? Don't stop to try to understand it. Just thank your lucky stars shining above and say, whoa.
Place to live, but there's orange juice fountains flowing.
and all well. All he needs is a shovel.
Wipe away the tears. Everybody does it in Hawaii. Do you really? She's got two pretty legs with dimpled knees, two brown arms, and they know how to squeeze. A perfect form, and I'm hard to please, but everybody does it in Hawaii. I'm going to take my hula hula girl and bring her home with me. Everybody does it in Hawaii. Ho-ra-lee, ho-ra-lee. She's got it here and she's got it there. Her lips are red, her little feet are bare. She's shy on clothes, but I don't care, 'cause everybody does it in Hawaii.